Oil prices rose briefly in the days following the September 11th attacks on the Pentagon and the World Trade Center, but quickly fell back to lower levels. The current price of around $22 a barrel is one of the few bright spots in an otherwise dismal economic picture. But there's some concern that prices could head sharply higher again. Terrorist leader Osama bin Laden has threatened to topple the government of his homeland, Saudi Arabia, which produces about 10% of the world's oil. Bin Laden believes oil should cost more than $140 a barrel. NPR's John Idsty reports.
During the past year, oil prices have fallen about $10 a barrel as the world economy has cooled and the most recent energy crunch has receded. That's been a boon for a faltering U.S. economy, says California energy consultant Phil Verleger.
The decline in oil prices, together with a decline in natural gas prices, are going to give the American consumer roughly the equivalent of a $100 billion tax cut, along with everything that's coming from Washington. And so that really ought to help propel the economy forward if consumers don't panic.
And the outlook for energy prices is promising. Partly because new production is coming online, says Dan Juergen of Cambridge Energy Research Associates.
We expect non-OPEC supply to increase by 1 million barrels a day next year. That's a big increase, while we're looking at actual oil demand actually decreasing.
That should keep energy prices in check through next year. But that benign situation could change quickly, says Phil Verleger.
The fear that I and everybody has to have is that the situation in Saudi Arabia or one of the other major producing countries will unravel. And Saudi Arabia is top of the list right now.
With a current output of about 8 million barrels a day, Saudi Arabia is the world's largest oil producer. And its ruling family, the House of Saud, is a primary target of terrorist Osama bin Laden. Things in the kingdom could unravel in a couple of ways. Terrorists could attack Saudi oil facilities, or they could try to topple the royal family. Analysts agree Saudi oil facilities would make a difficult target. They are heavily guarded and very secure. And even if an attack were successful, the world could likely cope, says Edward Morse, former Assistant Undersecretary of State for International Energy Policy and now at the Hess Energy Trading Company.
We have strategic stocks that can fill a gap if there is a disruption. Most disruptions are likely to be very short-lived. We can withstand, the world can withstand a significant disruption for 2 to 3 month period of time without doing much damage to the economy by increasing prices.
But Morse says there should be concern about the threats against the Saudi government.
We're confronting sources of terrorism whose main objective is clearly not the United States, but whose main objective is the government of Saudi Arabia and the regime in place. And the attack on the U.S. Appears to be because of the support that we have lent to the Saudi regime.
A number of press reports have suggested that the Saudi royal family is vulnerable because of opposition from religious fundamentalists, angry about corruption among some members of the royal family, and Western lifestyles that violate Saudi Arabia's strict form of Islam. Nawaf Abaid, a Saudi energy analyst, says there is animosity towards some members of the royal family, but he says Crown Prince Abdullah, who runs the daily affairs of the kingdom for his brother King Fahd, who's incapacitated, is well liked by the average Saudi. They see him as a reformer within the royal family and a religious man, says Abaid.
He is a very pious man, and as such, he has been able to not only appease but to bring closer to him the central figures of the senior religious establishment.
Obeid says an overthrow of the Saudi royal family is highly improbable in the near future. Gregory Goss, director of Middle Eastern Studies at the University of Vermont, agrees.
There certainly are people in Saudi Arabia who don't like the regime. The question is, what can they do about it? And right now, I don't see an organized force in Saudi Arabia that could act against the regime and bring it down.
Goss says in a decade or so, when the royal family faces the transfer of power to the next generation, things could get rocky because there's no clear blueprint for succession. He says that's a matter for concern, but there's little the U.S. can do to influence the outcome. Edward Morse agrees.
In the end, there's not much we can do about how other governments and other societies want to organize themselves in terms of authority patterns. We have to watch out when they're not in our own interest, and that's potentially the situation we're confronting, which is why moving toward greater energy self-sufficiency and decreasing our vulnerabilities is a very important thing to do.
Curbing U.S. energy demand should be a big part of a more comprehensive energy policy, says Morse. In the past decade, he says U.S. oil consumption rose by 3 million barrels a day, a nearly 20% increase. Greater energy efficiency for cars and trucks, and doubling the size of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve could help reduce U.S. dependence on the Middle East, he says. That region now supplies a quarter of the oil the U.S. consumes each day. Morse says those strategies should be added to the Bush administration's recent energy proposal, which was largely a call for increased domestic production. The administration's plan bogged down in Congress, partly because prices began to fall and concern about the recent energy crisis faded. But Phil Verleger thinks the urgency will reemerge now.
I think it's much more likely we will get a different energy policy as it dawns on Americans that oil was one of the reasons for the attack on the trade centers.
Daniel Yergin agrees the U.S. will probably develop a more robust energy policy that is some combination of increased domestic production and higher vehicle efficiency. But that will not make the U.S. immune from some level of dependence on Middle Eastern supplies, he says.
Until we pass into some other age and leave the age of hydrocarbons behind, the oil of the Middle East will continue to be something that is one of the foundations of our modern world economy.
John Idstey, NPR News, Washington.